Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Carroll's Corner MMA Podcast. This is your host, Kyle Carroll. Our show tonight is brought to you by MyMMAnews.com, your number one source for MMA news. Excuse my raspy voice. I'm, like everyone else, been hit by a cold this Christmas weekend. All episodes can be listened to on MyMMAnews.com. Click on the top, the link page, hit podcast, and you'll find Carroll's Corner if you want to listen to the rest of the episodes. And follow us on social media at MyMMAnews. And you can follow myself, your host, Kyle Carroll, on Twitter at Jiblitz77. That's J-I-B-L-I-T-Z-77. Tonight our guest is the alpha male, Matt Roman, who is a three-organization champion. He's a KTFO welterweight champion, CFFC welterweight champion, as well as ACC welterweight champion. So, Matt, thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Matt, we're going to get right into it. Big news, all of the social media have been blown up. You want your pro debut to be a fight against Kevin Ferguson Jr., which is Kimbo Slice's son. Tell us about that. Why is he your number one pick? Why do you want to go after him?
Well, no disrespect to him, but it would be a good introduction fight. It would be a fight that I would be able to showcase my skills and show that I would be able to hang with the pros.
Well, which skills specifically? We know you're a wrestler. You wrestled a little bit at Edinburgh University in Pennsylvania. What skills do you believe that you can you have above him?
Well, pretty recently, for the past year and a half, I've been working on my hand and my stand up. So I'm trying to work on my boxing. I want to show that my boxing is good. I want to show that my grappling is top level, where his isn't there. So if I'm fighting him, it shows the different quality of fighter. I'm not a name. I don't try to build my performance off of a name. I'm an actual fighter. I'm there to compete. I'm not there to bring in, you know, money because of my name.
And Bellator is a pretty big promotion. I know you're talking about you want to get in there and fight, show prove to everyone. Talking about how you're not, I guess, fighting or getting in the cage at Fort Bellator because of your name, like I guess some say Kevin Ferguson did because of his father, Kimbo Slice. Stepping in the cage, how would you be different inside the cage? Bright lights, national televised. What would be different for you inside that cage?
When it comes down to it, there's nothing different. It's like a job. You go to a job, you're there to do a job. Of course, you know, there's going to be a lot more pressure since, you know, it would be televised and there would be, you know, thousands of people in the stands. But when you're in the cage, it's just you and that other person. There's nothing really else going on. You're not thinking about anything else. You're just thinking about beating the person. And I feel like I have more experience in that sense than him, that I would be more comfortable in the ring and in the cage, and I'd show off my skills better.
Okay. So you were supposed to fight for ACC KTFO cross promotion event on Long Island at the Space at Westbury, which is a cross promotion, but we all know they now made a merger and now they're the Triton fights. You're supposed to fight Austin Wolfson. Do you plan on fighting him, or do you plan on jumping right to Bellator if you get that call?
Well, it all depends. If I do get that call, then of course I'm gonna hop on it. But if not, then yeah, I'll fight. I'm not scared to fight anybody. I'll fight anybody at any time. I wanna progress in my career. I just don't want to be stuck in the same place. I want to move up higher. And if I can get that opportunity, then yeah, I'll take it. But if not, then if I have to fight one more time, then I'll fight one more time and then see what happens. But if I do get that call, I hope I do. Then I'll take it. I'll take it and run with it.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that'd be awesome if you got the phone call from Bellator. So if Scott Coker's listening, definitely.
Yeah,
I put
it out there. I made myself available. You know, no one's answering back. I tagged Scott Coker in my tweets. I tagged Rich Cho, the talent advisor. Nothing. I haven't even got a word from Kimbo Slice Jr. yet, so I'm just sitting. I don't wanna get to the point where I look like a stalker kind of person. But you know, I have to get my opportunity. You know, if someone calls me out, I'm not gonna be scared to fight the person. I'm gonna show. If it's like a random fan, of course I'm not gonna waste my time. But I'm not a fan. You know, I fight for a living. This is what I do. So
yeah,
you would have to take me seriously.
And, you know, you got a pretty decent following for someone who's an amateur fighter. Most amateur fighters may have a few thousand friends. They're their friends and whatnot. But you have over 10,000 fans. You want to tell us how you built that, fan base on Instagram so quickly?
So the way it worked out is I got a sponsorship with 5% Nutrition. And 5% Nutrition has over 100,000 followers on their Instagram. So when I got sponsored by them, they kind of put my name on blast, and then I built off of their following. And then after that, I met the owner and founder of 5% Nutrition. We were hanging out. I brought my belts over, and I had him sign my belts. He put it on his Instagram. He has over 500,000 followers on his Instagram. And just built off of there. So since then, you know, I'm just trying to be a nice guy. I try to answer back to everybody. I try to have a uniform Instagram where everyone can, you know, relate kind of. I don't want to be like that person where I just put up one thing every single day. I try to be relatable and try to grow my fan base. And, you know, I thought that would help, you know, get this fight. I put up the picture and 30 people reposted the picture. I put up my tweet. A bunch of people reposted my tweet. So it's not like I'm doing this myself. I have a big fan base that would want to see me fight.
Awesome. And you fight at Tiger Schulman's. You train with the founder of Tiger Schulman. You want to tell us a little bit about your gym and how you ended up there and your training and whatnot?
So I train with Shihan Tiger Schulman, Shihan Daniel Schulman. He is the founder of Tiger Schulman. He's the master that everyone looks up to. When I'm there, it's Tiger Schulman Elmwood Park. That's the headquarters. That's where all the fighters train. I train with Sensei Lyman Good, which is a current UFC fighter. I train with Sensei Jimmy Rivera, Sensei Luis Galdino, which Jimmy Rivera is number 4 ranked in the 135 division. Luis Galdino, he was the tough finale. He was on the Tough Finale, I think season 12, season 14, one of those. I train with them every day. I train with Brad, I forgot his last name, I'm blanking out, but he is the Ring of Combat 155 champion. So I have a very diverse group. I have Shane Burgos, my cousin. We train every week at headquarters. He just won his UFC debut. So I have a lot of people there, you know, that are on that high level that would get me to that high level position that that I'll be comfortable to fight in Bellator or UFC or any of these other places.
Now, your cousin Shane, he just, like you mentioned, he's now a UFC fighter, just fought up in Albany at the Albany card. Before that fight, he wasn't in the UFC, and he did something similar, got a couple interviews with MyMMAnews.com and a few other media outlets, and he got the phone call. Do you believe the media part of it helped him get in the UFC, or obviously his hard work and his undefeated record was what got him in there, but do you believe just getting that little bit of recognition put him over the edge?
That little jump helps. I was driving home from Nashville, Tennessee, and I was in the passenger seat. I'm just looking at my Instagram, and I see the interview pop up with My MMA News, and I was reading the article about Shane Burgos, and I was seeing, like, oh, you know, he's capable for the fight, and then 2 weeks later, he gets the fight. So I'm it's not a coincidence. That just doesn't happen that way. So I'm sure that push, you know, got the eyes of the right people, and it made him happen. Made it happen.
Definitely, that's awesome that he took advantage of it. And you know, he won a big fight too. I forget who he beat him at, but he got a big win.
Yeah, and it's not like he doesn't deserve to be there. He's, you know, he's undefeated. He finishes all his fights, so there's no excuse why he shouldn't be there. And I feel like I'm the same way. You know, I have three titles. I take titles from people. You know, so I'm on that high level amateur status where no one's close to what I can do. So I feel like I would deserve that next level.
Now, Matt, the next three events is Saturday, January 21st, excuse me, with Ortiz versus Sonnen. And then you come back to Friday, January 27th with Rickles and Darrow. And then the following one is Fedor and Mitrione, and that's February 18th. Are you starting to train right now in case you do get the phone call? Because the 21st and the 27th and the 18th of February, they're coming pretty quick.
Yeah, they're pretty fast. I've been training. I haven't been really keeping up with, like, fighter training, but I'm not just sitting on the bench. I'm, like, training, you know, I've been lifting. My diet is a little bad right now because of the holidays, but once New Year's is over, it's going to be straight. You know, I'm going to take it like I have a fight. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to diet every day, you know, I'm going to weigh out my food, I'm going to train twice a day, you know, 5 days a week. I'm going to make believe like I actually have a, you know, three-round, 5-minute fight. So I'm just going to prepare that way just in case, you know, he actually does want to step in the cage with me, then I'll be ready for him.
Now, being a former wrestler, the weight cut to 170, 155, that's a fairly easy cut for you, right?
So right now I walk around at like 185, 190, 195 on a really bad day. But I have it down to a science where the week of the fight, I'm set. I'm already there. So I would just have to cut 6, 7, 8 pounds, and then I'm done. It's not. I'm like, it's there. I'm ready to go. But 155, I'm gonna have to. I can get down there. It's gonna have to a lot of body fat.
Definitely. Now, I believe Kevin Ferguson is not scheduled for either one of those three fights on the Bellator schedule.
No.
So if that doesn't happen, you're obviously going to start your training for Austin Wolfson at Triton Fights 1 on February 24th. As you're training for that, excuse me, what are your goals if you step in the cage with Wolfson? Obviously, you want to win, but what are your goals in that fight? If you were to win, it would improve you to 6-1 in amateur MMA, which is an impressive record, and not many people go – 7 fights in an amateur career. Kevin Ferguson only took 1 fight in his amateur career.
Yep, he doesn't deserve to be where he is. I can tell you that.
What are your goals within the cage when you, if you fight Wolfson?
If I fight Wolfson, I'm gonna make it a point that I shouldn't be there. I'm gonna make it seem like, you know, oh, this guy, you know, did he step down in organization, or, you know, is he a pro? What is he doing? I'm gonna make it a point that I should be on that top level. You know, I should be able to move up already.
Okay, interesting. So, like, now I know you're a wrestler. You prefer knockouts, submissions, or just straight up ground and pound?
Well, for me, I'm a submission guy. I like submissions, but you know, the last couple of fights, I want to get that knockout. If not, you know, I'll grind it out. So I'll, you know, stand up for a little bit. I'll take you down. You know, next round I'll stand up a little bit and I'll take you down. And I'll submit you if anything happens. That's my game plan. But I would like a knockout. I haven't had a knockout yet. I feel like a knockout's coming. Just you gotta watch out.
Awesome. I want to tell us about. I know you've been wrestling since you were 6 years old, I believe you said. Tell us how wrestling, and you've also been doing jiu-jitsu for a long time. You have 30-plus gold medals in submission tournaments. Tell us a bit about your submission and your grappling game.
It's pretty down-packed. You know, I'm still learning things. There's still things to learn. But I'm at the point where I can grapple with a blindfold on, and I have awareness of where I am and, you know, how my opponent's where their position is. I have just that feeling of, like, it's fluid. So if I go for a submission and I miss it, I know exactly how to get out of it or roll into another submission. I chain my transitions. I just feel comfortable. It's a force of nature. It's a habit of grappling that I'm used to. So I just feel completely comfortable no matter what's going on. I know that I'll be just fine. Like, my last fight, Jude took me to the ground. I wasn't worried about his punches. I wasn't worried about anything. I just got my half guard. I got my lockdown in. I went for my sweep because that's what I do. It's just natural to me. And it just happens. I'm completely calm. I don't care if someone's on top of me. I'll get out. I don't have to worry about it.
Awesome. Now, you're 5-1. You did something in your amateur career that many fighters don't even do in their professional career. But your first fight, I believe you said you took on short notice, and you ended up losing a split decision to Eric Taylor at aggressive.
Yeah, that was just a bad decision on my part.
But then you came back three fights later, and you beat him in a unanimous decision at ACC 13 in the co-main event for the vacant title. Tell us about that and then how you improved as a fighter from your first fight to your fourth fight.
So my first fight, I just wanted to get in there. I just wanted to fight. So I just used any excuse to get in the cage. So I was out of shape. I wasn't training for three-minute rounds. I was just training just to train. They're like, oh, let me get a fight. So my instructor was like, maybe you should train a little harder to get the fight. And, you know, I'm the jerk. I'm like, no, I want to fight, I want to try it. And he was like, all right, I'll let you do it. So then I did it. I was completely out of shape. I gassed out in, like, the second round. And then I was just going on heart for the half of the second round and the last round. Since then, you know, I've been training my ass off to get ready for that next level. And then when I was able to redeem my loss, my game plan completely changed. My whole game plan was I was supposed to take him down and finish him on the floor. Now, when I saw him in person, I was like, no, I'm going to prove that I'm better than you. I'm not just going to take you down and finish you because that's what I'm good at. Be better than you everywhere. So I stood up with him majority of the fight. He wound up taking me down, and I swept him, and then I ground and pound, and same thing next round. But it was a quick, like, a complete 180 compared to my first fight, if you put them side to side.
Now, if anyone's interested in calling in and asking Matt a question, please feel free to do so. The number is 323-870-4011. So if you have questions, comments, please be sure to call in and ask away.
Yeah, feel free.
So your timeline is either take the Wolfson fight, wait for the Bellator call, or is there another option for you to go pro if you get a call from another organization? I know CFFC, you have an amateur welterweight title. They also have a pro card or Ring of Combat. Would you take one of those fights if they called to go pro?
Yeah, I'll definitely take it. But, you know, it all depends on how my instructor feels, Shion Shulman. If he feels that I'm ready to completely drop amateurs, then yeah, I'll do it. But if that Kimbo Slice Jr. fight does happen, yeah, I'm jumping on that right away. Because, you know, that's a perfect opportunity. I'm ready for it. But we're looking at CFFC. Where there's gonna be a CFFC card in February that I'm very interested in. We just have to see how that goes. But if nothing happens, then I would have to fight one more amateur fight to prove that I'm ready.
Now, is that a fight you think that people want to see? You fight Baby Slice Jr. He's 0-1. He just lost via submission in the first Bellator fight. You're 0-0, haven't fought a professional fight. You think that's a fight people want to see?
Well, I know my people want to see it. I have hundreds of people messaging me and commenting, oh, are you going to have that fight? Are you going to get that fight? All my students in my school that I train and I teach in, they're like, oh, that would be awesome. I would definitely come see that fight. But he's not going to take the fight. He knows better. If he takes that fight, he's going to be 0-2, and his name's not going to be worth anything. So he's going to sit there, and he's going to try to put it off as long as he can. He's probably going to find another – he's going to find a scrub to fight so he can get a win under his belt. So I know my people are in. We're ready to go whenever. You give us a call, we're all down there. I have my 5% nutrition page. They have 100,000 followers. I'm pretty sure a bunch of people from there are going to go to that fight. A bunch of people from here are going to go to that fight. All my family, friends, you know, fans, they're all going to go to that fight. So I know in my part, everyone's psyched to go for it. I don't know about him.
Now, his father obviously is the YouTube, that's how he got big, street, backyard fighting, street fights.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how much of that he's done, but do you think his hands would be a concern for you inside the fight, the cage? Or is that something you're not really too worried about?
See, I'm not very concerned about his hands. He's a strong guy. But what I saw in his last fight against Hamilton, his hands aren't a real big concern. Hamilton had no hands either. Hamilton had barely had a ground game. He submitted a Baby Slice. So I'm not even worried about his ground. But his hands aren't really an issue. I feel like my last fight, my opponent's hands were a lot better than Baby Slice's, and I did fairly well with him.
Now, according to Tapology, we talked about this the other day. They have you ranked at number 4 in New York. Now, we all know it's Tapology. It's not always the most accurate thing. Some of the couple guys that are like 1, 2, and 3 are all upstate guys who have – we're fighting a bunch of chumps. So, realistically, you probably should be number 1 in New York State. You held 3 titles.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm the champ in the biggest organization in New York. I should have 3 titles. I mean, I should be number 1.
Definitely, yeah. You were champ at KTFO, ACC, which now merged and pretty much made a superpower. They pretty much dominate Long Island and New York City amateur MMA. And then you also fought on CFFC. Which is another big promotion, and won that title. What does it mean to you to hold 3 titles and then possibly fight for, I guess, a 4th title where Triton Fights is now KTFO and ACC? What does that mean to you to hold that many titles?
Dude, I'm the champ. I'm the alpha. I'm the top dog. No one's gonna stop me. No, definitely no one's gonna stop me in amateurs. That's for damn sure. I know that for a fact. But it just shows how much better I am. I'm not trying to sound like an asshole. Can I curse? Am I allowed to curse?
Yeah, you can curse away. Go for it.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to sound like an asshole or anything, but there's no one came close to beating me. I haven't had a split decision since my first fight. And that was because I was out of shape. I'm on a different level. I should be pro. I should be, you know, fighting Baby Sliced. You know, I should be making my debut already. If I get the fourth title, it just puts the nail in the coffin, you know, that I should be up there. I don't think anybody has three titles in amateur MMA in New York. I should be number one on that list, so I don't know. I just let my belts do the talking.
Now you've been pretty active in the last 2 years. Your first fight was on February 22nd, 2014, and then you just recently fought on September 9th, 2016, when you won the KTFO title. How important has that been to you to be as active as you have? Six fights and within a 2 year time span. A lot of fighters don't usually fight that often.
I'm just trying to fight. I love fighting. I fight as soon as I can. You know, this is a passion of mine. I just like to do it. You know, if I was getting paid, you know, the big bucks, that's all I'd be doing. But, you know, you have to balance life out. So I just try to get as many fights as I can, so later on in the future, I don't have to worry about balancing work and play.
Now,
if that makes sense.
No, definitely. And you were talking about how nobody can pretty much stop you on the amateur level. What makes you different from every other amateur fighter?
I pick things up very fast. I'm very natural fighter. When I wrestled younger, I was always the dominant one. I would always be the winner in the tournaments, and you know, I just take that discipline and that drive, and I just build off of it. And my grappling the same way. I'm always on the top. I'm always building, and I'm always developing different skills, different techniques, different sweeps, whatever the concern is. And I feel like every fight I get better and better. And since my first title defense, since my first title that I won in ACC, I feel like I'm 10 times better than that guy that I was in that cage then. And I just build and I build and I build. And I feel like no one at this level can match me. They can't, they don't have the talent. They don't have the drive. They don't have the dedication to be on my level.
Now, being a wrestler, talking about people, how much the difference between you and other fighters. You wrestled all through high school, and then you went to college to Edinburgh to wrestle. You want to tell us the difference? Because a lot of people always ask the question, and I think there's a huge difference between Division I wrestling and Division III wrestling. You want to tell us what you think is a huge difference or the gap? Because you see on the UFC fight cards, you're like, oh, this guy was a high school state champ or just a Division III wrestler. And then they talk about a guy like Ed Ruth or someone else who wrestled at Penn State and won three titles or two titles. What is the big difference right there in the wrestling?
Oh, it's the mindset. It's all mindset. It's all mind over body. When I was in high school, it was like a joke. Our wrestling program was a joke, and I did really well. When I went to Edinburgh, the first day I got there, I moved in. I had practice that same day. We ran for 4 miles. Then the next day, we ran for 7 miles. I wasn't ready for that. I was just like, oh, we're going to go in the mat, and, you know, we're going to wrestle, and that's it. No, it's like life. These people live and breathe wrestling. Their whole day is revolved around wrestling. It's what they do. So when they're training off season, they're just running, running, conditioning, conditioning, and I wasn't used to it. That's the difference between high school and a college or a university wrestler. Those NCAA wrestlers, the All-American wrestlers, they're running 15 miles a day because their conditioning has to be on that level to withstand. Their technique has to be good, so they're on the mat constantly. High school wrestling, you know, after school you go to your practice and then you go home and that's it. It's a complete different mindset.
Yeah, you know, that answer was awesome because, you know, I'm always thinking of different things that I think are the major difference, but it really is the what you do off of the mat that separates you from everyone else. I agree 100%. That's very true. And, you know, do you think that translates, like Division I wrestling translates well into MMA? Because you have guys from all different levels, Olympic to Division III wrestling and JUCO wrestling, and then now they're fighting in MMA, and some have had success. Do you think that really translates differently on each level?
Oh, yeah, it definitely does. You can have a guy, Division III wrestler, and he has a mindset of a Division I wrestler, and he can go in there with that mindset and he'll be victorious. And you have the guy in the Division I that he was a Division I All-State wrestler, you know, I mean All-American wrestler, and he had that mindset and he thinks, oh, you know, since I'm an All-American wrestler, you know, I don't have to train as hard to beat these guys. And then he winds up losing because he gets too comfortable. So it's all about the mindset. Anybody can win at any time. It's all about what you're thinking at that moment.
Now, for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and wrestling, you've been doing both of those for a long time, simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
What is the real difference between the, like, obviously the submissions, you can't submit someone in wrestling, but I'm a wrestler. Like, I always feel like BJJ is kind of like a lazy grappling. Mm-hmm. Like, what is your thoughts on the difference between BJJ and wrestling?
Oh, wrestling, it's all conditioning. That's what it is. If you take a wrestling class and you take a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu class, it's two different things. I don't know much about gi. I don't do gi. But no gi, it's you can sit in guard and you can work from your guard. You can take a break. In wrestling, you're trying to, you know, if you're on the bottom, you're trying to get up. If you're on your back, you don't want to be on your back, so you got to get up. It's all conditioning. Your forearms are swollen from gripping, from holding someone's wrist, you know, some trying to tilt somebody. It's all based on conditioning. Grappling is more based on technique and, you know, setting somebody up for a submission or a sweep or, you know, a transition. Wrestling, it's constant. You're constantly working for something. You're constantly, you know, holding someone's leg or holding someone's wrist, not letting them turn over and trying to tilt them, you know, trying to get off your back, trying to stand up, trying to take somebody down. It's two different worlds. I can grapple all day and I won't get tired. I wrestle for 15 minutes and I'm done. It's two different mindsets. I mean, two different conditioning workouts.
Now, how important is, like, you started wrestling first and then you're doing BJJ. How much wrestling did you bring over to BJJ? Like I know when I'm watching the MMA, and I see someone like with good hand control during BJJ, as well as while they're wrestling, like going for takedowns and all. Like hand control and wrestling is just as important, I'm sure. How much of that did you bring over to the BJJ?
I brought as much as I can over, as much as I possibly can without jeopardizing myself. You know how wrestlers try to take somebody down, they get stuck with a guillotine. I learned how to work with it and change it into something different so I won't get caught in that position. My top game, I'm very heavy. You know, I like to be on top. I like to keep the pressure. That's my wrestling, you know, trying to pin somebody. I want to keep my pressure. You know, I don't like to be on the bottom because I'm used to being on my back. I want to get out of being on my back. So I don't like being on the bottom, so I work my sweeps from the bottom so I can get up to be on top control. So my grappling base is built off of my wrestling. So my takedowns are wrestling. My top control is wrestling. My passes are wrestling. My sweeps are trained from wrestling because I don't like to be on my back. So I want to sweep you. I want to be on top. So it's all my wrestling. And then I worked my grappling and my submissions into that.
Awesome. You know, I love seeing the transition from either wrestler to jiu-jitsu or jiu-jitsu to wrestling. I love how it, that's why I love MMA. Everything just kind of has to
blend
combine
in
to make a nice formula of success.
Yeah.
Now, your holidays just pretty. Oh, Christmas just ended. New Year's is coming up. How do you just kind of limit yourself to how much you eat and the intake and just kind of relax and as well as hitting the gym?
So today I did jiu-jitsu. I was rolling today, you know, try to get a little workout in. The past couple of days I've been stressed out. I haven't been eating much because I've been nervous the past couple of days. I proposed to my girlfriend yesterday.
Okay.
So I was nervous. Yeah, thank you. She said yes. I was nervous for the past couple of days. So I've been eating like a bird. It's been very small meals every single day. So I've been set for Christmas. So Christmas, I'm good. I haven't eaten anything. Now, New Year's is a different story. You know, now I'm not stressed. So I have to try to limit myself. But now I got a workout in today. I felt good. I can't wait for the New Year so I can get 100% to this fight, hopefully.
Now, Kimbo Slice Jr., Kevin Ferguson Jr., he's listed as a welterweight on Bellator MMA. I don't remember if he fought at 170. I think it was 170 that I fought at his first fight. Would you fight him
I
at
believe
170
so.
Or would you rather fight him at 155?
I'll fight him at 170. I'll fight him at 185. I'll fight him at 170. I'll fight him at 155. It doesn't matter. He's not going to take the fight. I know him. He's not going to take it. He's too scared. He won't do it because he doesn't want to take another L. If he takes another L, he's not going to get another fight. If he doesn't get another fight, he's not going to get paid. So he's going to get a guy that's a scrub that he's going to beat and try to keep his name. He's not going to come fight me and lose, and then he's not going to have anything to show for it. So, you know, I'm not knocking him because, he's a smart guy. He knows how to keep his name. But I feel like if someone calls you out and someone embarrasses you on social media, you know, you're obligated to fight them. You have to prove yourself. You can't be a pro fighter and have an amateur fighter call you out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, you're a Jersey boy. You come from New Jersey. And you travel. I think it shows your dedication. You travel to Long Island, which is, I'm sure, a few-hour drive for you with traffic and bridges. And
yeah.
Anyone who knows going through in and out of New York City, it's a hassle.
It's
to Long Island to fight. And you bring a decent crowd with you from New Jersey. Is there a reason why you come to New York to fight on the ACC KTFO promotions? Or
honestly,
in Jersey?
Those guys are amazing. They're really nice people. They understand the fighter. They understand where they're coming from. They're really lately they've been really organized. They're on top of their stuff. You know, they're really professional in everything they do. You have to be here at a certain time. You have to be on weight. You know, you're not allowed to bring this into the locker room. You're not allowed to bring this. They're very courteous with the fighters. So they're not going to really like push you during your weigh-ins. Cause you know, you've been cutting weight all day. You're in a bad mood. It's not going to be like, oh Matt, you know, you forgot this. You forgot this. They're going to be like, all right, you know, bring it tomorrow. Or, you know, you're right. You need a chair. You want to sit down before your weigh-ins. Like they're really kind people. I like fighting for them because they just put the fighter before themselves, in their organization.
Yeah, you're definitely right. Tom Kilkenny, Nick Canobio, and Eugene Perez, they do a phenomenal job with fighter safety sanctioned by USMTA, which was the first third-body sanctioning body in the state of New York to be licensed.
They're basically like the face of New York amateur MMA, they have to they present themselves that way too. So they're professional. They're on the top of everything.
Definitely. Now, being a Jersey boy, do you feel like when you come over to New York, do you feel like sometimes you're in a hostile grounds and whatnot, or with the fan base and all? Although you do bring a pretty good crowd.
Yeah, I bring a lot of people. So hey, if something breaks out in the hall, I got backup. But no, I'm fine. My father grew up in the Bronx, and my most of my family from my dad's side grew up in the Bronx. They grew up in, you know, Brooklyn, all around New York. So when they show up to my fights, I feel comfortable because that's where they live. That's where, you know, I fight. So they make the trip down there. I bring a decent amount of people, you know, 60, 70, 80 people, you know, 100 people at the most at a time. So it's good, but I don't feel the hostility. No. I got booed once.
Did you?
Yeah. Like one of my second fight, I was walking out, and I guess I beat one of the dude's friends, and he booed me when I was walking down the stairs, and I told him thank you, and that was it.
Well, it's funny. It's entertaining how MMA crowds and people, I guess they're not really, a lot of times people that show up to fights aren't always, they're not, I guess you call them casual fans, and it's entertaining,
yeah.
Some of the stuff you hear them yell. I remember covering a fight in Indiana. They were yelling some of the most atrocious things you can think of at the fighters as they walk in and out. It was pretty crazy.
I was at John Jones' fight in the Prudential Center, and we were sitting in the stands, and these guys in front of us were being so obnoxious. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, yo, if I were to fight right now, I'd beat all your asses. Like, they were, like, drunk, and they were, like, just talking shit the whole time. And the guy sitting next to me was like, hey, can you guys relax? And I was like, oh, shit, there's about to be a fight going on. And they were, like, yelling at each other, and I was like, I'm going to have to whoop someone's ass today. And then, like, the security came in and broke it up, and then that was it. And then, like, maybe 100 rows in front of us, this fight broke out. And nobody was watching the fight in the cage because it was a boring fight at the time. And everyone was just looking at that fight, and the dude got thrown down the bleachers and everything. It was crazy. But yeah, shit like that happens at the fight.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever seen that in a ACC or a KTFO fight, though. Everyone's pretty civil.
No, they do a great job. They definitely make a family atmosphere, which is always nice.
Yeah.
Now, you were talking about you went to John Jones's fight. Then there's the World Series of Fighting fight coming up this New Year's Eve at Madison Square Garden. Are you a big MMA fan? Like, professionally, do you go watch as much as you can on TV in person?
I try to watch as much as I can on TV, but you know it's been so busy, and I'd rather watch it on TV than actually go to, like, the arena, because, you know, I get to hear the commentary, I get to hear what they're saying, you know, I get to be in the comfort of my own home and watch the fights. I can see everything clearly. I feel like the last time I went to a fight was the John Jones fight, and that was a while ago, and I barely could see anything. The side of the cage, you know, where the bar is, that was in my view the whole time, and I barely could see anything, so I was looking at the screen anyway. So I'd rather watch it at home. I was actually in business with Kizwi. It's an app where you go live stream video, and they were going to offer me a spot on the press booth to live stream and commentate the fights. But I got so busy that I'm not gonna be able to make it. So,
gotcha.
That kind of sucks.
Now, I forgot my train of thought. Oh, your social media, you're getting on there. You got a good following on Instagram. How would fans, if they want to follow you and follow your career on social media, how would they find you?
It's easy on Instagram. It's M Roman, R-O-M-A-N. MMA at oh wow, so it's at M Roman MMA. I just, like, confused myself. It's pretty much the same thing for Twitter, M Roman MMA, and for Facebook, it's Matthew Roman. I'm the guy with the three titles.
Yeah, no, Facebook, is that a fan page or is that just your personal account?
I believe it's a personal account. I don't know. I don't really know much of Facebook. But
gotcha.
I believe it's a personal account. I think my dad made a fan one too. I don't know if there's two of them or is one. I know that he runs the Facebook stuff.
And you also have you said your dad's running that. He also helps with your manager setting up fights, and I know you went to the meet and greet for KTFO, the World's Collide meet.
Yeah.
Meet and greet. You get to a lot of events like that. How important do you believe that is for you to get to all that type of stuff, the meet and greet, and just also, I guess, events where you're showing your face?
I feel like it's good, you know. Any publicity is good publicity. I can't even say publicity. There you go. If it's good, it's good. You know, if it's bad, it's still good. So just being there shows that I support their company and I support what they do. And it's also good exposure for me, no matter what the size of people. The last time we were there, you know, I met you. I met a couple other people. It's good. It's good connections. It's good to network yourself.
Definitely. Yeah, I
and
agree with
you. Look where this ended up. I'm on a podcast with you. So
yeah, yeah.
It's all because
looking forward to doing this. It was fun chatting with you while you were there. Why not? You're an interesting character.
I try. Hopefully Bellator sees the same thing. I'm just saying. Just throwing it out there.
A matter of time, right? Maybe they're just looking for the best spot for you guys to get on and fight. Maybe they have a jersey card coming up.
Hopefully. So, I wanted to keep pushing it. You know, I wanted to just keep putting it in his face to see what he would do. But my dad was like, dude, you're going to turn into like a stalker and he's never going to fight you. So I'm going to give him a little space. I'm going to let him breathe a little bit. Hopefully they change their mind and fight.
Let him think about it.
Yeah. I know he's not going to do it. So I can say absolutely whatever I want and he won't take it. So I'm in that position. So I don't know what he wants. I mean, what they want me to do. My 5%, one of the sponsored athletes is Ron Henderson. He fights for Bellator. And I asked him and I said, hey, you know, is there any way that I can get on the card or, you know, I can get their attention or anything like that? And he was like, just keep provoking him. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to try.
So you want to tell us about your sponsors? Because you're pretty heavily sponsored for an amateur fighter. You're, like you said earlier, that's how you built up your fan base on Instagram. Want to tell us a little bit about that?
So I'm sponsored by 5% Nutrition. It's a nutrition company. They're based out of Florida. They're more of a bodybuilding company, but they're trying to expand to, you know, different exercises like CrossFit and martial arts and stuff. So they put me on board as a martial art sponsored athlete. So I would go to competitions. I would wear their stuff. I would take their supplements, you know, at the gym and stuff. I have S2 Activewear, which is a legging company based out of Florida. They specialize in custom leggings where you have superheroes or you have, you know, characters from TV shows. And since no-gi grapplers, majority of them wear the leggings and the long sleeve rash guards because they don't want to catch, you know, fungus or whatever.
Yeah.
So they come out with awesome leggings that they're incredible. They actually gave me a pair of Spawn leggings for Christmas. Like they looked awesome. They had his face on it and him with the cape and everything. It was amazing. I was
very
excited because I wasn't expecting it. They, you know, they're very nice people. They wrote a handwritten card. They gave me a microfiber towel with their logo on it. And they're like, oh, Merry Christmas. You know, thank you for supporting us. And that's, you don't see that very often where a company, you know, goes out of their way to show their affection to their athletes. I also have Flow on Wheels, which is a bike company in Hoboken, New Jersey. I actually trained the owner in martial arts. So he hooked me up with a bike. He hooked me up with a track suit that says, you know, Flow with, on Wheels. And I ride my bike around. I Instagram my, me being on the bike. Since it's cold outside, I haven't been really biking because I don't want to freeze. But besides that, you know, I help him out as much as I can. I have Submit to Fitness, which is my conditioning coach. They get me in the best shape that I can get. I go there every Tuesday and Thursday. You know, I put up videos. You know, I support their team. I mention them everywhere. Try to get them as much as they can. And I also have DC Mouth Guards, which is a mouth guard company, custom mouth guard company, based in California, where they create custom mouth pieces that fit for your mouth, your personal mouth. They mold it. They put whatever you want on it. So you can put your name and you can put a design and they'll do it exactly how you want it and then they'll send it to you. They're pretty awesome. And that's about it. That's all I have.
That's awesome, Matt. That's pretty impressive. You got that kind of sponsorship.
It's Bellator should see this. They say, "Oh, why is this kid so special? You know, he's getting all these things." I'm just saying. I'm putting it out there. I'm gonna keep sticking the knife in there so they realize.
Definitely. You know, that's all you can do, right? Just keep training hard and get your name out there. I appreciate you coming on the show. I look forward to seeing you either fight at Triton Fights or on TV at Bellator, beating up Ferguson or whoever else they might throw in front of you.
I even told them. I said, "Hey, if you want me to fight a scrub, I'll fight a scrub and then fight him. It doesn't matter to me. All I want is that fight." So hopefully.
Definitely, yeah. So hey, I look forward to seeing you getting in the cage one way or another. Wish you the best of luck, Matt. And thank you for coming on the show.
No problem. Anytime. I'll be on here whenever you ask me.
Definitely. For those who want to hear, check out MyMMAnews.com. You get all your latest MMA news, your number one source for MMA news. Check us out on social media as well. Check myself out, Kyle Carroll, on Twitter at Giblitz77. That's JIBLITZ77. You'll be able to find all my articles and fun stuff on there as well. So hope everyone enjoyed their Christmas. Hanukkah is this week, I believe, and Happy New Year, everyone. And Matt, once again, thank you for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
No, and thanks for having me, and happy holidays, everybody.
Yes, happy holidays, and have a good night. And good night, all.
So here on purpose, so all the while till I'm gone, make my words important. So if I slip away, if I die today, the last thing you remember won't be about some apple bottom jeans with the boots, with the fur. Maybe how I dream of being free since my birth. Cursed, but the demons I confronted with the spurs. Have you ever heard of some shit so real? From the heart, from the soul, you can feel. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. But please don't cry, just know that I have made these songs for you. And if I die, never catch it, even if I got a head start. God, please tell me I am feeling so a long way. I don't need to worry, cause I know the world will feel this nigga. Blessing in disguise, but I am not hiding who I am. Open your eyes, bruh. If I ever met you, I appreciate the love, yo. Girls that I dated, it's okay, I am not mad, yo. Unless you stab me in the heart, no love, ho. This shit is so ill.